Now the Bible has shown us that there will always be false teachers. And Peter said that many will follow them. They're subtle and clever. But God will not forget to judge them.
And
they are doomed. We should tremble and fear to think of the judgment of God. In this chapter, Peter speaks now more about that judgment. Now, there are some preachers, they like to rant and rave like madmen about judgment. It seems to suit those preachers' twisted personalities. But that's not the way that Peter is speaking. But he's giving us a truthful warning. He's showing us the dreadful truth, so that we will flee to safety. Wants to convince us of the dreadfulness of the judgment of God, so that we will remember to stay close to the Lord Jesus.
Now,
first he reminds us that God has already shown his judgment.
The
judgment of God was not a new teaching for these believers. God had already left examples for people to remember. Now, in the main, judgment is not found now. Justice only happens very, very imperfectly in this world. A few wicked people get the judgment they deserve in this life, but most of them don't. But God has set a day of judgment in future to judge them all. So we don't look for perfect justice now in this life. But God has left testimonies of the terrible justice that will come on that day. We can remember them and know that God, he's not being slow, he hasn't forgotten. The time is coming. In verse 4, Peter reminds us about angels who
sinned.
Now this is quite a dark subject. There's only little revealed in the Bible about it. There's a little here, there's a little in Jude, there's a little in Revelation.
And
then just a few other small places.
So
we can't say a lot about it. And we don't want to run away with guessing. But actually, Peter condemns people who speak boldly about things they don't understand. But he does tell us there was a rebellion among certain angels. It seems to be the rebellion that was led by Satan. Because he was once a powerful and great angel. And somehow he desired to be granted authority and power that God had not given him. He rose up with other angels in rebellion against God. But God threw him down to the earth. And the angels that were with him, he sent away to a dark hell of judgment. And there they're held as prisoners until the end of time. What a terrible place to be. For thousands of years before you were born, and then until the world ends and into eternity, those angels which decided to fight against God have been held ready or held in punishment. Ready for an even worse punishment on the day of judgment. And for them, there's never been any mercy, and there never will be. Now, if God judges angels, and he'll certainly judge men. Because he made us to be in his own image. He made us to be the crowning glory of his creation. The Bible doesn't say that angels are made in the image of God. So in that way, they're less than men are. So he'll certainly judge mankind. In verse 5, Peter reminds us of another judgment. A flood which came on the whole world. In the days of Noah, when only 8 people were saved. Someone said, now how can God judge the whole world? How can he destroy all of us? Surely he won't do that. Surely the human race is too precious for him. Surely God wouldn't want to be left with just 8 people. So surely we're quite safe. We'll just live as we please. That's what they said in the days of Noah. They carried on eating and drinking. They married and they gave their daughters in marriage. But when Noah shut the door to the ark, the flood came and washed them all away. And when Noah came out of the ark the next year, all was gone. All those people and their families and their animals, all their cities and their technology, from huts up to palaces, it was all washed away. Noah must have trembled when he walked off the ark. Everyone and everything he had known had been washed away. And he walked out into a new world. He must have been hearing a voice saying in his head, "Your God is holy." Your God is serious about judging the wicked. Now later in the book of Genesis, we read of two cities called Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, there were five cities in that area. And God destroyed those cities with fire from heaven. Now, he waited a number of years, because we read that it says Sodom was a very wicked city before God. And but then, it's a number of years passed before the judgment comes.
So,
God gave them time to repent. But when they didn't repent, the judgment came. One morning, fire fell from heaven, and all you could see was the smoking remains. Verse 7 tells us they were judged for their filthy lives. Jude also wrote about them. He says that they were judged for their unnatural desires. For sexual immorality and perversion. Now the world today is trying to tell young people that sexual practices are something to experiment with.
And
they'll say it's your body and your life. So experiment and find what you enjoy. But the world is lying to you. The Bible tells us that Our lives and our bodies are God's. That He is the one giving us life and giving us strength to draw breath every moment. It's only by His power that our heart keeps beating every second. That we live in His world and in His presence. And we must use all things, even our own bodies, according to His law. And if we belong to Jesus Christ, then we belong to Him twice. Because after we've given ourselves to a life of sin, He has redeemed us. And His blood has purchased us to be His servants. The Apostle Paul said, "You are not your own, you are purchased with a price." When you see those television programs, when you read the books they're writing, remember that it's a
lie.
We're not free to follow our desires as we please. We're given our lives to live for the glory of God. Now, don't let anybody say, "Oh, well, that's so disappointing." Because our God is good. He is the one who designed marriage. He is the one who gifted us the pleasures of marriage. He knows the best way to enjoy His good gift. There's a much greater joy in purity. It's much better to enjoy God's gift, God's way. Uncleanness and immorality can't lead to true joy. It leads to feelings of being dirty and used. God's way is a much better way. But only those who believe Him can taste and enjoy that truth.
Well,
God made Sodom and Gomorrah an example of His anger against the unclean. The end of verse 6 says, they're an example of the future of the ungodly. In that town of Sodom, there was one man whose family God rescued. It was Holy Lot. Now, when we read Genesis, we really ask some questions about Lot. Why did he go and live in Sodom? Why did he not flee from those wicked people? Seems he was too interested in trading and making money with them. Too little feared the judgments of God. But Peter tells us that he was a righteous man. And he hated the vile things that he saw happening in the town. And he remained pure. And God then delivered him out of that judgment before it fell. Just like he delivered Noah and his family from the flood. God doesn't forget his people. Even if the whole world is wicked, he remembers those few who still love him. Maybe you're in a school or a family and you feel that you're the only one. Is there who else is there who fears God here? And what is the use of you carrying on? You ask, what difference can it make? Why don't I just give up and live the same way as the rest of them? And you ask, well, how can I keep standing? It's so hard. But these things are not new. Thousands of years ago, Lot was before you. Before him was Noah.
And
there have been many. God is able to keep you standing. God values your light in a dark place. And God will put a difference between you and the others when he comes in judgment. So stay faithful to him. Now in verses 9 to 16, look, Peter tells us why God is so angry. Because of his holiness. He is a holy and pure being. He is all light with no shadow at
all.
It is the unrighteousness that he hates, verse
9.
It's sin that offends him. The breaking of his law. The false teachers, verse 10, they follow their own corrupt desires. They're led by sinful cravings. Verse 12, they're like animals. And you know, animals just follow their desires. They can't help it. They have no way of deciding anything else. You can train your dog with a stick. You're still just driving its desires. It desires to not be hit with the stick now. But the dog doesn't sit and think about life. It won't say, now what a dirty animal I am. Why don't I wash and clean myself up a bit? You can train it to do all kinds of things. But inside, it's still just a dog.
Can you put
But human beings are made to be something different. Made in the image of God. We're made to think and to consider our ways. To choose what is beautiful and pure. To choose what is excellent and right. And to show God's glory in His creation. Is that what you want to do in your life? Or are you just an animal led around by desires, The false teachers, verse 13, they live just for pleasure.
Matina pagadek wacho ni jopunyore mag miria, jopunyore miria mogini, gine yudu pok mag richo, matina pagadek.
They didn't come to work, they came to enjoy themselves. They want to party and satisfy their desires. They see, they want it, and they fight to get
it.
That's in verse 14. Eyes full of adultery. They're led just by what they can see. There's a beautiful woman, let me get her. There's money, let me grab it. They're beasts. Peter reminds us of a prophet of the Old Testament. Now, a very strange prophet, if you read his story.
It's
called Balaam. He's in the book of Numbers. He knew the truth. He knew that Israel was God's people. When someone came to him and said, curse these people, he said, well, I can't do that unless the Lord wants it. I can only follow the word of the Lord. So what he said was good. But then, the one who was tempting him showed him great riches and wealth. So Balaam then said, well, let me ask the Lord what he'll say today. Let's go and pray and ask him for his answer. How can Balaam say that? Is God going to change his mind? That now God will decide to curse his people? All because Balaam was shown some money? Is that what kind of God he is? Yet many people think so. You ever like Balaam? You know something is wrong. You say, well, let me pray about it. The Bible's already spoken. But you say, oh, let me see how the Spirit will lead me. And what you mean is, oh, I hope God can change his mind. You think God is like a man? That if you put some pressure on him, then he'll alter his way. In my country, there's one we often hear from young ladies who are single. They haven't yet found the Christian man. And they find some non-Christian man who takes an interest in them. He tells her that she's beautiful, he wants to marry her. She knows that's not right according to the Bible. But she won't tell the man to leave. She decides, oh, I'll pray about it. I'll see how the Spirit leads me. That was the sin of Balaam. God had spoken, but he wanted God to change his mind. Well, God opened the door for Balaam to carry on. Balaam did carry on. And I'm sure he told himself, oh, the Lord's allowed me. But later, the Israelites caught him and they slaughtered him. If you really want to be ruined, God will often open the door for you. Bible says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Don't test his patience. Don't test to see if he really means what he said in his holy word. Because he really does mean
it.
God is not a one to play games. But these false teachers, they have no fear of God. They rush in where angels fear to tread. Verse 10 tells us that they despise authority. Now God made this a world full of authority. We're born with parents over us. There's a government with policemen and courts and judges to rule righteously. And God gifts men to be elders in his church. We can't all decide to live how we please. But for any part of life to work properly, there has to be authority. Schools have head teachers. Places of work have bosses. Would you like your school to have no head teacher? You might say, oh yes, please. But you give it a few days and you'll change your mind again. And you see there's no learning. There's no structure. There's no one holding anything together.
There'll
soon not be a school at all. A Christian shouldn't be a person who despises authority.
Yes,
often authority is used badly. And that's a sorry thing. But authority itself is part of the world as God wanted it to be. But no authorities hold back these false teachers.
ma manyalo geng'o jopuonj mag miriambo gi.
They consider themselves the only laws.
Gin ema ginenore kagima gin e gin ema giting'o chik duro te.
Why do we hear of so many crimes committed by pastors?
Ang'o momiyo wawinjo ka nitiere gik moko mongelo ngelo maricho richo magawo
kala ma jayalo. So much stealing of church funds.
Ang'o momiyo ka joyalo moko be kwalo kara ma pes kanisa.
So much immorality.
Kendo timbe moko mongelo ngelo mochido maganjao be wawinjo ka joyalo timo.
Well, they don't fear God and they don't fear man either.
Kendo kara ka gik moko mongo be ok babo gi be ok ochuno gi be osebeo gi luoro dhano be ok ochuno gi be ok giluoro.
Verses 10 and 11 speak about slandering celestial beings.
Apar apaga chiel wacho ni tukara kamano jogo endo.
Now Peter doesn't tell us exactly what they were saying.
Peter kwacho nwani to ang'o mo owuoye malong'o.
Doesn't explain in what way they did this thing.
To kinoko wacho nwani to en yo mane motime magik moko magitimore.
But a teacher should be humble.
To japuonj owinjo be ng'ama bo ng'ama muol ng'ama hore.
He should know that he's weak.
Owinjo ng'e kama en kod nyawo.
There are enormous and powerful spiritual forces.
Nitiere teko moko mang'eny man malo mag
both of good and of evil.
Nitie moko becho to moko bende richo.
We don't need to fear because Jesus keeps us safe.
Ok owinjore waluor teko mag jochiende mane kor lwasi to gi mamoko nikech Yesu Kristo noseloyogi.
But we should be humble and not speak as if we were more powerful beings than we are.
Eto ok owinjore ni wawuoyo kata jok moko bolore mondo wuok gima wan gi teko moloko kaka Yesu nigo.
We can do nothing for the kingdom except through the strength of the Lord Jesus.
Onge gimo nyalo timo ne pinyruoth mak mana kokadu kuom teko mar Yesu Kristo.
But these false teachers, they rush forward in their pride.
Jopuonj mag miriambo giringo kendo gin kod sunga margi.
And they try to draw others with them.
Kendo giywayo joma yie gi yomyom gitero e richo.
Verse 14, they seduce or they persuade the unstable.
Uma wacho ni wengegi rango mana mon gi gombo maricho kendo gombo ma gin go dwaro mar timo richo ok rum. Giywayo joma yie gi yomyom gitero e richo.
Verse 18, they entice people, that is, they draw people.
Apagaboro wacho ni giwuo apagaboro wacho ni giworore gi weche manono kendo kendo kuom gombo mag ringruok gioyo joma dwaro tony ka kuom
gombo mag ringruok. Not only going to hell themselves, but they're trying to bring others with them.
Gigombo ni mondo gidhi e mach kendgi giwegi, gigombo mondo gidhi gi ji mang'eny e mach mok tong gidhi kendgi.
Wicked people are often like that.
Jok maricho richo chalo kamago kinde mang'eny.
They feel better if others are with them.
Giwinjo ka gin maber kendo gin arita maber ka gin gi jomoko
be magidhigo. Helps keep their conscience quiet.
Kendo mamiyo gik magitimo bedo kata pachgi bedo mokwe mos maonge paro moro amora ni odhi kende. Odhi gi ji mang'eny koro pache kwe.
Bible warns us to avoid people like that.
Muma temo wacho ni jok makamago endo winjo wageng're kendo winjo watamre mondo kik gibed.
They may seem big and powerful that they do everything they like and they get away with it.
Ginyalo neno ni wagima gin jok madongo kendo ginyalo timo gik moko kaka gidwaro.
The Bible says beware.
Muma wacho ni bed motang.
The traps they set for others, they will be the last ones to fall into.
Obato magise chiko ne joma moko mathoth mondo giywago endo gin ma gibiro joma okwongo ma gibiro lwar e obadho no.
So God is holy.
Nyasaye en maler.
But this proud, corrupt, arrogant, beast-like way of living makes him angry.
Nitie yo moro mar dak le mar gombo mag kile mar gima ene mitimo kendo mar dak marach ma chwanyo Nyasaye kendo miyo Nyasaye biro kod ich wang' gi ich
lit. Verse 13 says we should be quick to throw such people out of the churches.
Muma wacho malong'o kanyo wasawo ni apaga adek ni joma kamago endo winjo wabed mayot ahinya mar rimo oko mar kanisa.
Peter says they are blots and blemishes or stains reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you.
Kendo duanyruok gi kachiel kod gik magisetimo momienogi gida mondo kagiwuotho gima gimien kuom wan nikech gisemienogi.
The early churches used to have meals together for fellowship.
Kanisa mokwongo ne nitiere ne bedo e lalruok e chiemo kanyachiel kagiriwore.
But Peter says these people should not be there.
Kendo Paul Petro wacho ni jok makamagi edi kama ne lalruok kama ne chiemo kanyachiel
kibidi. They are a great stain on your fellowship.
Jogi endi kopuro odonjo diero gibiro mienu kachege dwanyo gi chido gi lil margi ei lalruok man Nyasaye.
Now in the last verses he says it's better that those people had never known the truth at all.
Kendo kisomo mugik no to mumo wacho ni jok makamagendi ne ok owinjore gi ber kani adiera bebe ne ging'eyo.
Don't think you can get some useful service out of a man like this.
Kiki parni nyalo yodo gimoro maber kata inyalo tiyo gi nyalo tiyo gi gimoro maber kodo kuom ng'ama chalo kodo ng'ato.
Verse 17 he says they're useless.
Paga biro wacho ni gin jogo endo machalo gi sokni maonge pi kendo gichalo gi ongweng'o mayamo kudo.
Now imagine you are having drought.
Pari ni ndalo makoto ok ochwe ndalo mapiny otuo.
And over the hills some miles away you can see there's a well.
To every got malokingi kudo tineno kanitire kasoko moro midnalo.
You walk all the way there with your bucket.
Ari chuni ne kipinyo tuko makama piyo chuni ne every got malokumele kapintita. Iwuotho gi ndopi mo de kuyo.
When you arrive you're so thirsty.
Kato kichopo kucho cho ndetino akoro inga mario mako.
But the well is empty.
To piny to otimo pinto gimoro onge.
What a disappointment.
Ero kasoko gimoro onge to ito il kod riyo.
All the water has gone.
Pi duro te oserumo to isewuotho malach riyo bende maki.
Imagine you're waiting for the rains on your crops.
Ndo para ne seche moko makoro isepidho kothe ni ipidho bando maber puodho imo miyo kodhi chwe.
You see the clouds beginning to gather.
Kasto ineno ka yam eno ka kor moch mag polo mutingo kope chakore kon gi kon.
They come over, they cover the whole sky.
Kato gibiro moche go endo mo ponga ponga kon lwasi te.
You wait for the rain.
Kato dito koth.
And nothing falls.
To gima bi koth ok chwe.
And then they pass away again.
Kato gi chak koth kato moche mutingo kope chakore lalo kendo gena kamaro no kato chwe. Negi ponga kon lwasi ginyano chikoth ginyano chwe.
A useless and a disappointment.
Eni gima oge kore tiende kendo man eni wich kuot ma lich mo chalo nade.
That's what Peter says about the false teachers, verse 17.
Mano gima Peter wacho matinda par koda biryo.
Verse 18, they speak great big words.
Mo wache buk mara apaka buru matinda gi uoro regi weche manono madongo dongo.
They promise you so big things.
Kendo gita mono mege singinu gik madongo dongo.
But all they do is deliver you into a life of sin and emptiness.
Eto gima gitemo temo ene gitemo no migi choro wakendo giketo mbo bede ngima nendo mawaonge kod geno kata matin.
Verse 19, they promise freedom.
Apar kod cheko gisingo nua ni gisingo wani jogo magibiro miyo thuolo nigibo miyo thuolo.
They say you can live as you please.
Okay, okay, watch man kake nua midwa ne dage kake dak ngima kake keti.
But those men aren't free.
They're
the slaves of corruption. Where their evil desires lead them, they go. That's not freedom. To be free is to be free to do what is right. You're free when you can do what you ought to do. Yesterday, I had some fish from the lake. Can you tell that fish? I freed you from the lake. You're no longer a prisoner in that lake.
Rech also been lived to go to where we could to watch in rech. I go to be to look at the sun in nam in ka.
Out of the lake the fish is dead.
Rech no say picho ma no say the misuma mari ma ko rite lu ni ga wo.
That's how it is for us.
Do manaka gi bo cha no.
When you leave the life of obedience to Jesus, well, you've been freed from life itself. You're now free to die. What kind of freedom is that? So don't believe those false teachers. They're trying to draw you into slavery. Peter says, verse 18, they entice or they tempt people who were just escaping from error. Too many people are ready to be persuaded. Because they've not really left sin in their hearts. They've just left it for a little time because they're ashamed or they fear punishment. But they're ready to be led back when they're tempted. Is that how you are? Have you left sin because you hate it? Have you come to Christ because you want to be pure? That's the only safe place to be. Otherwise, you'll soon be drawn back. Make sure that you really know and love Christ. Make sure your Christianity is not just on the outside for a little time. Because you'll be an easy catch for these false teachers. But people who turn away from the truth, they end up worse than they started. That's in verse 20 and 21. You know, the sun beats down. If we had some ice, then the sun would melt it. But where you have some clay, the sun bakes it hard. The good news about the death of Jesus, it's like that sun. It shines down into the world. And some hearts it melts. A person is born again with a soft heart. And they're ready now to obey the Lord. But other hearts are baked hard. People, they come and they hear about holy things. But they don't repent. So they get used to hearing the holy words of God and letting them pass by. The holy words of God just become like a common thing to them. They talk about them just like they're talking about the weather or the state of the economy. It's just something that passes them by. But they're left worse than they started. Because before, there was hope. The truth might change them. They might come to Christ and be saved. But now they've just grown accustomed to the truth. They're happy to carry on in sin whilst talking about holy things. They're becoming immune to the only saving word.
Watch my waro G, Nuedo. And watch my coro gang watch my waro.
Perhaps you've had some vaccinations or immunizations to keep you safe from different diseases. They put a tiny bit of the disease, but in a harmless form, into you. Your body then becomes accustomed. It knows how to fight the disease if the real one comes. Some people have become vaccinated against the truth. They've seen some of it. They've tasted a little of it. They've handled it. But they haven't allowed it to change them. Now they're immunized against it so that it can't. And now they go into sin without worrying. They don't fear anymore. Peter says it would be better if they'd never known the truth at all.
Peter wachuni dine ber, dine ber.
Now these things aren't new. And they're not surprising.
Because
if you're not changed inside, then you'll go back after a while. Your dog will always be a dog. It'll do the things dogs do. When you take the stick away, it'll fall into its old behavior. There's a proverb Peter mentioned.
Mano es again. Engero ma peto na goyo kutie konde ko bu.
Says a dog returns to its vomit.
Owacho ni osetumore nu mana ka ngero mani guoko dok nango ngok me.
And when you wash a pig, it goes back to the mud again.
That's
its nature. Those are the things those animals love to do. But are you a different creature now in Jesus Christ? Has he washed you inside? Has he given you a new heart? The pig sees the mud and it thinks, yes, let me run. What do you think when you see your old ways of life? Do you say, I can't go back to those? Those are shameful and filthy. I want to live to please God. I want to be like Jesus. Because Peter warns us. The anger of God is real. The pigs and dogs go back to their filthy ways. But God will judge them very terribly. He's judged angels. He's judged men before. He set a day. And he won't delay it.